Let's pray and we get going here for today. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask you, God, right now to prepare our minds to hear your word, get our minds focused on your word, that we can understand your word. God, these are trying times to try men's souls. We got to have a divine intervention on a daily basis. The Bible says to give us today, this day, daily bread. We need a word from God every day. A right now, present tense word to prepare us for what's about to happen. God, right now in Jesus' name, bind the devil, keep his forces at bay, to give our minds clarity and the ability to understand what's said to us, and let this word sink down into the very annals of our souls to transform us into the image of Christ. We need fellowship with the Son by the Holy Ghost to actually hear the word. Have this word come alive. The letter kills by itself, but we need the Spirit to bring this letter alive, that we can live thereby and be actually given nutrition, God, to actually flourish in the kingdom of God. Lord, the whole Bible is an organic book. It's talking about life that's conceived, gestated, and manifested. And we need that life manifested in us. The only thing to identify us as sons of God is eternal life living in us. Do it, God. Let this word really take hold. We are not praying a prayer just to be seen or try to sound dramatic or astute or learned. God, we need help. We need some serious help. Because the minds down here have been so fragmented by the devil that concentration is even hard for people. They can look at a cell phone screen or a computer screen or a TV screen or a movie screen all day, but can't concentrate on the word of God. We need some serious help. Help in a time of need. Minds have been basically almost corrupted into uselessness. Lord, unless you build a house, they that labor, labor in vain. Do it, God, through your Son, Jesus Christ. We depend on him, his righteousness to see us through. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, today we're talking about two things, joy and pain. Joy and pain. Joy and pain are necessary elements for you to develop into the fullness of Christ. You need joy coupled with pain. Now, taking a look back in history at the musical industry, you know, back in the 70s and 80s when we came through music, music wasn't the same as it is now. You know, every generation can be defined and understood by the music it listens to. You take any generation, you look at the music, you'll see what's in the people. Because we are actually programmed by God to be like him, and God indwells and he thrives in the midst of music. I believe that we have been fine-tuned to be musical instruments, and God is listening to us as we pray, like you listen to music being played. You see, this thing is a mystery. There's a mathematical, musical mystery about God that I'm still trying to unravel because it's very complex and it's not understandable by the carnal mind. When he says he lives, he thrives, he indwells the praises of his people, why does he say that? What is it about God that has a musical element to it? And you can tell that God is musical because we are. It's something about music that soothes us and makes us feel a certain way and puts us in a type of a mindset because it controls the atmosphere within us. The atmospheres are controlled by music. Now, you can understand this when you understand that God is always seeking after harmony. God hates confusion. The Bible says he's not the author of confusion. You get people singing together, if they're not harmonious, you're going to hear confusion. Somebody's off key. Somebody's flat. Something's not right there. It doesn't sound right. It's not flowing. You need harmony in the church for God to move. God will not come into the midst of disharmony. So you got to have the people preached to and taught into a harmonious mindset that they're all on the same page together. When you get those people on the same page together and there's no disharmony, man, God's going to begin to do something. That's why he hates what? A person that sows discord. There's always a devil in your midst trying to sow discord. They're the ones that sit here and go outside in the corridor talking about somebody. Anytime you see somebody talking about somebody else, slap them and walk away. Don't forget the slapping part. Just slap them upside the head and walk away. Some you should have had a V8 and walk away. Because they're trying to sow disharmony into your soul. They're trying to put something in you about another brother and sister in Christ to bring disharmony into the environment. It's the devil. The devil wears a Brooks Brothers suit and a Mary McFadden dress. You better lock that into your soul. The devil only operates in confusion and disharmony. A Jezebel spirit always brings disharmony. You get a stinking Jezebel spirit, it'll always try to victimize somebody that's weak in the faith. Call you off to sow disharmony into your mind, and then you walking around one accord with the Jezebel spirit, linked arm in arm, like y'all got the truth in the midst of everybody else. You've been made a fool out of. God does not yoke you to disharmony, discord, and confusion. And it's always about talking about what somebody else did when the dirty, low-down Jezebel Ahab spirit is always the culprit. Because it can't harmonize with God. It has to bring disharmony amongst the people of God so nobody can get to go. Just like Satan did as Lucifer in heaven. He caused disharmony amongst the angels. So God had to do what? Kick his round angelic butt out of heaven so there'd be harmony again. That's what he does to people in church. And they always walk away talking about what somebody did to them. That's the devil. The devil is always the victim. Somebody always did something to me. When there's nothing on the outside of a man that can defile a man, every defiling element is on the inside. Jezebel spirits and witchcraft workers thrive in disharmony. They try to sow it because that's how they get their victims. They can't have unity. You see how your mama pitted the kids against each other in the house? Because she was a witch. She was sowing disharmony amongst the children for you to be out of sync with your siblings so she could control you. How did that happen? She pitted you against them, so all of you strive to please her. Because when she talked to you about them, you were thinking, I don't want her talking to me about me like that, so I'm going to try to please mama. But guess what she did to your brother? Talk to your brother about you. And your sister about your brother. And your sister about your brother. And your brother about your sister. It was sowing that disharmony for control. See, the word of God will unify. The word of God will harmonize the saints and bring them on one accord. So God is about to thoroughly purge his threshing floor. The Bible says his winnowing fan is in his hand. He'll thoroughly purge the threshing floor. I don't have to worry about the church being purified. Jesus Christ is going to purify his church all by himself. Because the wrong spirit, guess what? It can't fellowship with Christ. So therefore, it can't fellowship with the body of Christ. There's no separating Jesus from his body. The head and the body are synonymous. So if you can't fellowship with Christ because you have a disharmonizing element in you, he's going to automatically see you disenfranchised from his church. You can't flow with the church because of the demons living in you. Demons are not going to bring harmony and unity. They can't do it because they know in unity there is power. Power. That's why they don't want you unified. That's why those unclean, nasty spirits always seek to sow disharmony. And the devil has them so dumb, it's got them, they got the people thinking they're deep sowing the disharmony. I'm deeper than y'all as a Jezebel or Ahab spirit, a witchcraft working warlock spirit, thinks it's deeper than anybody else while it tries to malign the very work of God. See, when you got the church and the world out of sync with God's commandments and his way of doing things, the structure of God has been maligned, you get chaos. Every governmental, ruling, authoritative power on earth under God is male. Period. I don't care what it is. You know why you got confusion in the public school system? Because there's so many women in authority as principals, supervisors, superintendents, teachers. Everything is feminine, so you got chaos in the school system. You're going to have chaos in the government if you got the final seat of authority being female. So why the devil's striving to get it done? You can't see this. You got chaos in the church because it's feminized. Everywhere you get God's legal governmental authority underlined and maligned by femininity, you got chaos. You preach that now, you're the enemy of the state. You got these old hags sitting at home alone, like a Christmas movie, Home Alone, trying to tell you how to live with nobody. Then you got a comedian telling you how to be a woman. Act like a woman and think like a man. You're going to be home alone. You're about to be Macaulay Culkin or whatever that guy's name is. You're going to be home alone playing tricks on burglars, what you're going to be doing. Listening to Steve Harvey. Because no guy wants a woman thinking like a man, a rusty, stank man. If I wasn't a rusty, stank man, I'd become a homosexual. Look at how silly all this is. Chaos everywhere with people thinking they're bright and they got it figured out and they're as dumb as a box of cornflakes. And you try to tell them, and brother, you don't talk soft enough. You need to talk with more compassion. Ain't no sissy. Ain't no gal. That's what's wrong with them. They're trying to get you to talk like a girl because they've been so matronized, all they understand is femininity. So this is the chaos we're up against down here, in church, outside of church, everywhere. The world lies in the wicked one because he brought matriarchal authority into place. He matronized the world, and now any patriarchal presentation to people at large is seen as foreign because all they know is their mommies, especially the guys. The guys run back from the battle because they're so matronized. A guy won't step up to the battle if he got a feminine heart. His mama taught him to be a little girl. So they're prissy. Prissy. We got to get the prissy preached off of a guy so we can be a man again. A normal, everyday Joe Blow guy is what we're looking for. And that's foreign to the whole world. The more prissy you are, the more sissy sensitive you are, the more normal you are as a man. That's why they got their hair draped down their backs, covered in tattoos to be seen. All it is trying to be seen, a body idolater. You don't have the booty and the breast, so you cover yourself with tattoos to be seen. Walking around on the beach with your tattoos showing to be seen, prissying down the beach. Somebody need to take a sandblaster at the beach and sandblast your butt off of the beach. Standing in the mirror with your wife talking about, have you seen my earrings, the back of my earring? Those are my diamond studs. Give me those. Those are not yours. Those are mine. No, they're not. They're mine. They're yours. They're mine. They're yours. But your wife, throw the stinking earrings away. What's wrong with you, man? What is wrong with you? Put on a South Bend Beach, a guy walking around in thong, some pair of thong swim trunks. A guy. Oh, man. Can you hand me my sandblaster, please? My sandblaster. Do you happen to have a sandblaster on you, man?
This prissy mess has become normal to the whole world, and we're sitting here looking at it. You mention it, and everybody thinks you are the villain. You have no love. They've been so bathed in this femininity that it's almost pathetic to watch it, man. We're looking at this thing on a daily basis, and somebody better say something. While the women become more masculine, the guys become more and more feminine. And now it's normal. But what's happening? What's making everybody so passive, so docile, so tender as a man? Why are you so tender, man? Why are you feeling so easily hurt? Guys stand up and tell you something point blank range, and you start getting hurt and offended by it and tender. Why'd you talk to me like that? Why'd you talk so loud? Why was there so much bass in your voice? It just hurt me. You've been victimized by these Jezebel spirits stomping around in stilettos, talking about their divas and sexy, and those are just a bunch of dudes. The sexy babe out there in the yoga pants is just a dude that happened to have female form to destroy you. She can't beat you up because she's not strong enough, so she got to use what she got to get what she wants. I can't destroy you physically, so I got to seduce you to get dominance over you. Now you thinking you were the woman, you were the transvestite. These women are nothing but post-operative transvestites. They went down to South America and got some body parts pasted on, and you think it's real. And even make shows about plastic surgery now. This is crazy. We're living in a psycho ward. This is an insane asylum we're living in, and everybody sees it as normal. It's not normal, and somebody better point out the fact that it's not normal. So you see, music defines a culture. Music defines time periods that we've lived in. Music of the 60s, you can pull up a certain type of music. The 70s, you'll pull up a certain type of music. The 80s, the 90s, the 2000s, and the 21st century songs. You can always reach into a stack of music to find out what was happening at that particular time. The 60s was rebellion, hippies, flower children, Kent State. You know, moving into the 70s, you got into Vietnam. They start making songs like Still in Saigon and all these war movies. And you know, you had Edwin Starr in War. Yeah. What is it good for? Absolutely nothing. And you just said, yeah. And, you know, it's 80s and, you know, early, late 80s, 90s, when Ronald Reagan got in the office, the Reaganomics, you know. You know. And then, you know, what's the name? Tricky Dick Nixon got in the office. The guy made the song, Tricky Dick, please quit. I'm out here fighting. Homie, the fish ain't biting. Life's so frightening. And it was on the catchphrase was, Tricky Dick, please quit. That was music that defined the culture and the generation we were living in. Naomi saying, I don't remember that song. I wasn't even born yet. I don't know what you... But see, all of that was about the culture, the times we lived in, and what was going on. See, I'm trying to paint a picture to show you that music is defining us, and we don't even know it. It's not only defining us, it's refining us. It's making us over into something else. On that dance floor, you were being ministered to. It was shaping and forging you into something. So you move into the 80s. And back in the 80s, that was when I was about... See, I was in the Air Force in the early 80s. I was down in Miami, driving down through Miami, South Miami Beach and all that, you know, with some shades on, looking crazy. I was crazy. I was insane driving through Miami, insane. But on the radio, what was playing? Chic, La Freak, I Want Your Love, you know, Sister Sledge and The Greatest Dancer. Rick James. And that was on the radio. You know, Chic was one of my favorite groups. And then you had all the little mainstream little groups that had defined cities they came from or parts of the country. You had the Philly sound, which was OJs, and the Stylistics, and the Delphonics, and the Spinners. That was the Philly sound. You had the West Coast sound, which was Shalimar, and Kashif, and the Whispers. If you notice, that music had the same sound, same kind of beats, because same producers were making it. So whatever part of the country you were from, you had a sound that defined that part of the country. Now, Philadelphia had been called, had become the bastion of the love song, the modern-day love song. Man, you could get some love songs out of Philadelphia, Jack. Tom Bell and Linda Creed, they wrote for the Stylistics back then. All those Stylistics songs had you out there thinking about your boyfriend and dreaming and driving down the street, dreaming about Rodney and what you and him were going to do. And you already saw yourself married with two of Rodney's kids and everything. Stylistics. Then you had an argument with Rodney. Everything you went through, they had a song designed to fit the mold. Argument with Rodney, break up to make up, that's all we do. You went through that. You saw a girl at the club, you fell in love. Blue Magic came and told you, you must have put a spell on my mind. See, everything had a song. And the devil was doing that on purpose. Now, the devil was ministering to you based on emotional trauma, hurt, joy, or pain. And the devil had a song to fit the mold. That joker was strategic in what he did. Now, back then, you had something that doesn't happen too much anymore because you got a bunch of rappers and people that talk all the time. But the major groups would have a very powerful male lead singer. Change had Luther Vandross, In the Glow of Love, and those songs. LTD had Jeffrey Osborne. You put on, man, we both deserve each other's love. See, I'm taking y'all back. Don't go back in memory lane now. Don't go back down memory lane. Hold it now. Don't get in the flesh. I'm trying to make a point. You back in down memory lane. Oh, yeah, man. Concentrate on you. Oh, yeah. Concentrate on you. Man, yeah. But see how it can affect you, though? See how that music can affect you and bring back memories and feelings? See, the devil can play you like a well-tuned harmonica. That joker knows what he's doing with his music. So you had LTD, Jeffrey Osborne. You had Change with Luther Vandross. You know how Luther Vandross can sing. In the Glow of Love. Man, that joker had you just on the dance floor, just in dreamland. But the song I'm going to amplify today was a song sang by a lead singer of a group that was kind of a group that was in a little pocket in a mold that people just liked this guy. It was Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. Joy and Pain. He said it's like sunshine and rain. Because she already know that. She know the, I told you, did not that come out of her. When I got the girl demon possessed with the message. Joy and pain like sunshine and rain. Let's look at the lyrics from Joy and Pain. Frankie Beverly started off, he started off with a phrase about, the song is about the fact you fall in love and it's got joy and pain involved in it. Like, you know, the same thing, he says the same thing that makes you happy can make you sad. And you got to interact with a person. You can have joy and pain with them because that's just part of the relationship. One lyric says, over and over, you can be sure. There will be sorrow, but you will endure. You will endure. Where there's a flower, there's the sun and the rain. Oh, it is wonderful. They're both one in the same. So when you see a flower, you're going to have sun and rain. It's wonderful because they're both one and the same. They're both used to make the flower healthy and grow. And you can't get rain unless you got a cloudy day. That's what he's saying. So you're going to go through with people. You're going to have times of joy and pain. And it's going to actually solidify and make the relationship stronger because you went through joy and pain together. That's the thesis of Joy and Pain by Maze featuring Frankie Beverly. Don't be trying to pull that stuff up on the internet to see what I'm talking about. Just take my word for it. Folks, I'm melting. Let me go back and listen to that to see. Oh, man. I'm trying to make a point. I'm trying to bring out a point, and you might be the point I'm bringing out. Now, look at this. So to get a healthy plan, according to Frankie Beverly, you need joy and pain. You need sunshine and rain. Why is that? You see, to grow anything organically, you got to have sunshine on it, and you got to have rainfall on it. You can't have one without the other because too much of either one will destroy the plant. You got to have a balance of sunshine and rain, joy and pain. So what is that? When you get sunshine falling, sunshine on a plant, you get a process going on called photosynthesis. Photosynthesis. You know, the word photo means light. Photography is actually light impressions made through the lens of a camera. So photosynthesis is the operation of sun on a plant. What happens? Plants actually trap light energy with their leaves. The leaves on a plant are designed to stand there like almost like sensors. You ever seen the sensors they use to heat up homes? Solar panels? A leaf is actually a solar panel. That's what it is. It's laying there so it can absorb the sunlight. This is God now. God is at work. Don't fool around with God. Stop fooling around with God because you'll never understand what he's doing. God is running a huge power plant down here that you can't even see any wires hooked up to it. Sunlight is powering the power plant all by itself. So these solar panels are used, these leaves, they collect the sunlight. They use the energy of the sun to change water and carbon dioxide into a sugar called glucose. So you know the water falls from the sky, goes into the earth, and then from the root system is absorbed back up into the plant. Bringing what with it? Nutrients from the soil. This is God. Don't fool around. I told you, do not fool around with God. While these ant brain scientists try to figure everything out, God has designed already a world that's self-sustaining all by itself. So the rain falls, the roots absorb the rain into the plant, bringing nutrients with it. Sunlight shines on the plant. And then the sunlight is used through photosynthesis to change water and carbon dioxide into glucose, which is sugar. Where do they get the carbon dioxide from? From you breathing. Just think it. What do plants let off?
Oxygen.
What do we get? Air? The oxygen there from the plants. See, this thing is dynamically designed by a thinking, living being. And you want to talk about evolution. You're going to go to hell talking about evolution because the Bible says the heavens tell the glory and they tell the story of our God. By creation, God is understood in Romans chapter 1. So you can understand God through the creation if you study creation. So God, through that process of photosynthesis, changing the water and the carbon dioxide in the plant to glucose or sugar. Glucose is used for energy to keep the plant thriving and alive. Energy comes from glucose, from sugar. Did you not know the energy in your body comes from sugar? That's where you get energy from. And the plant, as it's going through photosynthesis, produces cellulose and starch. So it's, the plant is producing from this process of photosynthesis, water, sun, producing glucose, which is also helping to produce starch and cellulose. This is very important stuff. I had to go take it way back to Frankie Beverly and Mays and bring come forward to show you all this. Don't ever try to understand it by, why are you going to bring up all that old stuff? Just keep your carnal mind out of it and just listen. See, people try to get way ahead of something, try to figure out what you're going to say, because the devil got your mind over in Japan when we're still right here in Atlanta. Just go through the process to understand it. See, I said that for this reason. I know the devil. The devil will have your mind racing so much, you can't even understand what's in front of you. Because you're trying to figure out what's going to happen so badly that you can't receive what God has right in front of you. You got to get your mind to stop and slow down to absorb the nutrient right in front of you at that particular time. So what happens? You got sunshine and rain, the thing that Frankie Beverly calls joy and pain, making the fruit develop in the plant. It's bringing forth everything in that plant to develop the fruit and whatever the plant is producing. Now, that plant, through photosynthesis, is producing cellulose and starch. What is cellulose? Cellulose is a long chain of linked sugar modules. You remember I told you about glucose now. Photosynthesis produces glucose. When you link the glucose together, you get long chains of sugar modules. That's what cellulose is. Cellulose is long chains of linked sugar modules that gives wood its remarkable strength. It's what making wood hard. Why is it hard? Because it's linking cellulose together so tightly and so strongly that it's making the wood hard so you can build on it. See, this is the stuff that nobody knows. And we're looking at this stuff, and we don't understand what's going on. It is the main component of plant cell walls and the basic building blocks for many textiles and papers. So you see now, it's the main component for a lot of textiles and papers. One of the main plants or fruits that has cellulose in it is cotton. So you see how it could be hard as wood and soft as cotton at the same time. It's still cellulose. The same elements that's being formed up are both hard to build on and soft at the same time. That's amazing. It's just how tightly the sugar modules are linked together. Link them together tight, hard. Link them together loose, it's cotton. And they use it in textiles, and they break it down to make paper and all the other stuff you see them making, cloths and different stuff, cotton, underwear. You got on cellulose in your drawers right now. But this is what they, T-shirts, all this stuff you see made of cotton, that's what it is. And it came from sun and rain and the plant going through photosynthesis to produce these elements. Now, starch, on the other hand, is another byproduct. Now, starch, it's found in potatoes, all rye and bread and wheat, all that right there. But you know when starch goes into your body, you know what happens to it, right? It metabolizes back into sugar. Because you're putting it in you to give you energy that came from the organic thing you ate. See, everything is designed to be self-sustaining. There's a cycle of life that goes on. It goes round and round. You cut down a whole field, you reseed the field, and the cycle of life goes on and on. It never stops. God made this a self-sustaining, self-generating place. There's never a shortage of anything. When you hear him talking about there's a shortage of, that's a shortage of lie. Because a lot of folks think that oil comes from fossil fuel deep under the earth. There's evidence that oil is self-generating all the time in the earth. But see, they want to make you believe, it could be replenished and you can't replenish it. And you know, we got to make sure we preserve the oil. What now? You see how this, all these centuries of oil that never let up, did it? God has not designed anything to be depleted. Everything is self-generated. Did you not know your own body is self-generating and will regenerate itself? I can rip her skin off her arm. You know what the body going to do? It's going to go to work to repair that. It's going to regenerate that skin. So God has this thing under complete control at all times. That's why you can take your hands off of it and just do what he says to do. Because it's going to work out. He began with the word. He's going to end with the word. That's it. He knows what he's doing. I started it with my word. I'm going to consummate it with my word. That's all that's going to be left standing. After everything else has gone away, the word of God will be left standing, and his name is Jesus Christ. And you'll be left standing if you get into him. That's why your whole life is spent trying to find out what's not like him and getting rid of it. Because the only one that will stand at the end is Christ alone. So anything not like you in him, you better be getting rid of it. And the gospel is designed to get rid of, after identifying what's wrong, to have you get rid of it. If you want to make it through this, hang on to it, you won't make it. That's the process of photosynthesis. Joy and pain, sunshine and rain, making fruit develop in your life. Satan tries to shortcut development through an overdose of something that will cause it to short circuit. And the overdose that he tries to pump into you is sugar. Too much sugar is detrimental to you. So the devil says, let me just pump in heavy sugar. Now remember the balance, joy and pain. You have joy and pain to make it an equilibrium for you to have homeostasis in your body, so your body is functioning on an even keel. You put too much of anything in you, it's going to throw your body out of kilter. You're delicately balanced by God. Too much sugar, detrimental to you. What happens? Through an overdose of sugar, you'll have so much sugar that your cells can't absorb it. Or you have a lack of another chemical that won't let your cells absorb it. Now, here's the problem. You put in too much sugar, and your cells are taking in the sugar for energy, see? But you got too much sugar that your cells can't absorb it. You know what's going to happen to your body? It's going to store it as fat. That's why people get big. They've taken in too much sugar. Fructose in drinks is heavy doses of sugar, man. Heavy. So why people getting fat from drinking sodas don't know what's happening. That is extracting the sugar from the soda and storing it in your body as fat because your cells can't absorb all that sugar. Later on now, it'll change your back to sugar to absorb it. If you get low, it'll start burning the fat off. That's why you stop eating all the sugar, to have your body start burning the fat in place of the sugar. And it's giving you energy. It's stored energy in the fat, but you got to burn it off. But most folk won't do what's necessary to burn it off. They sitting back there on the couch with a soda and some french fries and greasy stuff, just putting in more fat and sugar. And it's being stored, all of it. When you become diabetic, what happens is your body is not secreting enough insulin. Insulin is the trigger to tell your cells to absorb the sugar. With no insulin, so your cells don't absorb the sugar because the trigger is not in place to tell your cellular structure to absorb sugar. So when a diabetic is not absorbing sugar, what do you give them? Insulin. And that helps the cell absorb the sugar. So now, if you look at it in a spiritual sense, an overdose of sugar will lead to spiritual diabetes. One of the main concerns with a diabetic is all of that failure to absorb sugar into their bodies leads to blindness. One of the main things that can happen to a diabetic is they'll go blind because the cellular structure in their eyes that are functioning off of that sugar absorption is undermined, and you become blind. So if you got an overload of sugar and there's no absorption taking place, man, you're going to walk around spiritually blind. I'm going to show you how all this makes sense in just a minute. What's wrong with the church? It's as blind as a bat because it's got too much sugar in the tank. All right, now look at this. Now that's the setup. Let's go to the proof text to show you how it all works. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. See, this is why Jesus says man shall not live off of bread alone. But you got to live off of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You got to have a balanced diet. A balanced diet. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Now we beseech you, brothers, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come what? Once saved, always, folk need to wake up out of that coma. It's a falling away coming from revealed truth. An apostasy means you walk away from revealed truth. There has to come a falling away first. Now, see, what's going to cause the fall away? Persecution. Once these folks rise up, the Sodomite nation rises up to contend with the church, many of the church folk that have been pretending to be saved will walk away from it because I didn't bargain for the rain. I didn't know there'd be rain. I only thought it was going to be sunshine. I only thought it was going to be smooth things, joy without pain. They never told me I had to suffer for righteousness' sake. They never told me I had to fulfill and fill up the sufferings of Christ. Nobody told me about this part of it. I got saved with promises for blessings. I got saved, promised if I give $100, he'd return to me 100-fold. I got saved behind a prosperity doctrine. I got saved with Leroy Thompson telling me money cometh to me now. I got saved believing Joel Osteen telling me every day is Friday. Have your best life now. I got saved under kingdom now. I got saved believing these lies, and now I got pain. I got the threat of persecution. I got the threat of the guillotine. They never prepared me for this. So therefore, I'm walking away. This can't be Christ. And everybody's standing on the word, going through the persecution. You are dying for nothing because God promised us happiness. He never promised you happiness. Happiness is not a fruit of the Spirit. He promised you joy that the world didn't give you, and the world can't take it away. You can be in all kinds of anguish and still have joy. Because joy is not something in your emotions. Joy is somebody. A fruit of the Spirit is the evidence that somebody is living in you. Love is not something you feel. Love is the presence of God because God is love. Love is somebody, not something. Joy is somebody, not something. Peace is somebody, not something. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. Long-suffering is somebody. Goodness, gentleness, meekness, temperance, faith are all somebody. That's where people are missing it by 1,000 miles. They're trying to feel their way through it. They don't want to be put out. I don't want to suffer anything because Christ did not suffer. Christ was rich. John Advanzini and Leroy Thompson tell you, he was rich with no place to lay his head, filthy rich. It's a lie from hell. They're overloading the people with sugar. And it's becoming very detrimental to them. That's why you don't see this packed out to the rafters. Because the folks want sugar. They are sugar addicts. They don't want any discipline. They don't want any chastisement. The Bible says if you don't undergo chastisement, you're a bastard child. Most folk are not saved. They're not even Christians. They didn't come to Jesus. They came for loaves and fishes. They came for stuff. They came to eat good, ride good, live good, dress good. Get me some more money coming to the Lord. And the number one thing, when they're full of affectations, they strive to get behind the microphone so they can be at the center of attention. Notice how folk come to church seeking to be a preacher, wanting to move up behind the pulpit. You're a clown. The war is on the streets. I do this on Sunday. I fight battles on the street every day. That's who I deal with, folks on the street. This right here is just a sidebar type thing right here to come in and teach y'all, because y'all are supposed to be saved. You train the saints to go to the streets. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers are given to perfect the saints to go do the work of the ministry. But look how everybody comes to church full of affectations, with their miniskirts and stilettos on, trying to get to the pulpit to be a diva in the pulpit. And don't say a thing. They stand up that the Lord loves you. The Lord showed me that he loves us, and those high heels on. And the Lord showed us he's a loving God. And the Lord told me the other day that, Trisha, I love you. And it was just so overwhelming to me to realize the love of God. They said nothing yet. But I want to hear that old Thumbelina Barbie doll trash. This is a warfare. You need commanders. Authoritative commanders to discipline your butt. Get you ready for war. It's no prissy, pretty girl stuff here. But you bring that trash you learned in the world. You know what the problem is? I'll tell you how this whole thing works. Now, follow me. Don't get mad at me. Follow me. By way of live stream, don't you turn that computer on. A lot of women come in church. Tell you what makes them tick. They were in the street girls. Fly girls, divas, running the club heavy. They fall in the club, all eyes on me. I got this body, I've been at the gym. Man, I walk in here, man, I got myself together, and you know I look good. But see, in the club, they're not looking for the drag with no money. They want one thing in life. You know what it is? Boss nigga. I'm looking for Rick Ross. I'm looking for Jay-Z. I'm looking for the boys with the money, the high rollers. The boss has got that Cavassier and that Hennessy on the table in front of them. That Dom Perignon. Looking for the boss niggas table. I'm going to take this bad body over to them boss niggas and style and profile in front of them. To one of them say, hey, girl, come in. Have a seat by me. What you want to drink? I'll have a Hennessy on the rocks. Oh, you drink Hennessy, girl. You a fine highline girl, ain't you? Oh, yeah. I don't deal with no chumps. I only deal with bosses. Well, you got the right one here, baby. And he put that stack on the table. Order what you want. Order what you want, baby. My Bentley outside. I'm going back to the crib after this joint up in here. We got another set we're going to do. I'm on the rappers doing a set tonight. We're going to my crib for an after party. You going to come along? Baby, I'm there. You ain't got to tell me twice. Got my thong, got there in the car. I'm ready for the hot tub and the after party. I'm looking for a boss nigga. I don't care if you white, green, or purple. This ain't even racial. They hear me say that. Oh, you a racist. You don't even understand what the deal is. It's time for you to go to another channel on live stream. We're dealing with folk that want to be for real right here. Amen. Fly girls looking for the bosses. So they come to church. They try to get next to the pastor, because that's the boss nigga right there. I want to be one of the bosses' girls. I know he married, but all bosses got more than one woman. So I'm in church trying to be a boss. I got my stilettos on and my short dress trying to get to the pulpit as a prophetess because I want to be one of the boss niggas gals. Not here. You get your butt to the streets full of the Holy Ghost and you do the job yourself. Ain't got nothing for you up in here. Because we ain't raising up no chumps to stand in a pulpit to be seen. This is about taking a war to the streets and bringing a harvest. You got that club slut whore spirit on you still in church trying to find a boss nigga pastor. That's why they identify with the preacher so much. That's why so-and-so is my pastor. That's why they brag on the preachers. They bragging on Rick Ross. They bragging on Jay-Z and the Cash Money crew and Lil Wayne and them. You the same whore you were in the street. In church, fixed up, slaying in church. If you can't get a boss, dude, you find a little punk boy to buy your drinks. So you go get your little sissy guy and marry him and pretend you got a man of God. Everybody knows he's a sissy. Who you think you're kidding? We're not here to play with nobody. I'm not here to play with nobody. I want to play. I go and buy myself a little toy poodle or something. It's a warfare, man. This is a dirty, low-down, hellacious, murdering, thieving warfare with a dirty dog devil we're fighting.
Yes.
See, that's why the prima donnas and the divas don't come this way. Because I can't see no way to get in there with that. We're building a core of men to be the foundation of this. So if I die and one of them dies, man, the ships keep right on rolling. The train keep right on going down the track, man. This thing ain't depending on nobody's personality.
Amen.
I might be here as a foundational guy to do it, but hey, once this thing is built, sayonara, see you around. I ain't got nothing to do with it. I'm in the streets, man, bringing in these sheaves. And the church will run on automatic because it's always somebody's teacher. Always somebody instructing. Always deliverance services going on to cast out devils. It ain't contingent on one man's show.
Amen.
That's for punk boys full of affectations. That's what folk don't like about this. They always come to me, why don't you, I know a guy preaching something similar to you. Why don't you get with him and y'all be powerful together? I ain't looking for no affiliation with like that, man. Because most of these guys still in that old pastor pimp paradigm. Still trying to be the boss in the church. They are boss. Don't understand, you smite a shepherd, the sheep gonna scatter. It's built on your personality alone. It'll never survive. Christ must be the chief cornerstone. And you build upon him. But see, this is the warped programming that you received as a whore in the street. Find the boss. You go in the club looking for the boss. See, with the money, who got the drinks? Who got the heavy liquor on the table, that $300 stuff? Oh, that over there. Okay. I see him there over there. Okay, let me get my stuff tight. Pull my stuff tighter. Crazy. And come to church the same way. And see, I pulled a cover off of it. Now everybody doing it. And now they shook up. Because, see, it's in them. The tuna fork goes off in you when it's in you, see. Because the devil been uncovered. That Jezebel spirit been uncovered. That witch in you. That nasty, whorish witch is being uncovered. Don't ever get identified with nobody. Be identified with Christ.
Yeah.
And the church world and these preachers don't even like me saying this. You know why? Because I'm tearing the cover off of their harem.
Yeah.
They pimps with a church full of whores. And the tithe is nothing but the take for the pimp. That's all it is. Got the whores going to work every day to bring that tithe to the whorehouse and pay the boss, big daddy, mac daddy, pimp boy in the pulpit. That's the game in church. If you can't see this, you're as blind as a bat. Eddie Long, he run the male version of it. He got the sissies on the street. Selling booty for his money. I wish you wouldn't use those kind of terms. I don't care what you wish I wouldn't do. I could care less what you think about it. I'm here to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Somebody better pull the cover off of this trash. Because it's sitting in church sowing discord as all these women strive to get closer to the boss. You can't see this? That's what they're really striving for. Who can be closer to the boss nigga up front? Because I want to be one of the main fly girls. How do you think Amber Rose got in? Kim Kardashian got in. Been a porno chick. She got a boss with Kanye. She finally got what she was trying to get to. Beyonce didn't marry Jay-Z as a loving father and husband. He was a boss. Then she told him as a boss, man, you get me, let me upgrade you. First song she made almost. Let me upgrade you. Because you're a boss and you got a fly girl. I'm a big time chick. I can make you look good, man. Let me upgrade you. You're a boss already. Let me upgrade you to a higher level of a boss with this fine babe on your arm. That's how they think. You can't see this stomping around in the pulpit. Why you think these preachers let these women come up in there in that tight stuff and those heels strutting around in the church? The men want to see them. The women want to be them. That's all it is. The women sitting there talking about, look at her. That girl, Helen, ain't she? Look at how she's strutting up there. Man, look at her. I love that outfit. She got that hair laid. I'm gonna be her one day. This is like do Beyonce in concert. The men want to see them, and the women want to be them. That's how you build a church on the back of your wife. Make sure she always look the role. And buddy, we're going to build this thing on your back, baby. Make sure you got your stuff on tight and right now for the fellas, because we're trying to draw a heavy crowd. And you're going to draw women just like you, so the fellas will pile in there to see these fine babes over at Truth Tabernacle. Y'all can't see this? I'm making it up. I'm the only one. I'm crazy or something. I mean, like, people look at me like, what are you talking? What am I talking about? I'm making perfect sense. Osteen is a boss nigga. You think you're a little white guy smiling with a blonde wife. That's a boss, man. That's a boss. Kenneth Copeland is a boss. That's not Kenneth Copeland. That's Lil Wayne. Kenneth Copeland is really Lil Wayne. That's Wheezy. Kenneth Copeland is Wheezy. No straggle, baby. Go get some water back. Go get some water back in the back of the church. Get your little water back in the back. That's what's really going on. Creflo Dollar's Rick Ross. His church right down the street from Rick Ross Mansion. He bought your boy's house down there, down from World Changers. What's his name? Holyfield. Rick Ross bought Holyfield's house right down the street from World Changers. They're the same dude. Two bosses on one street. Old National.